Someone else who's been a star in his profession for a long, long time is Cliff Mass, University of Washington, Department of Atmospheric Sciences, on all things related to climate and weather. In fact, he's the author of the best-selling book about the weather in this part of the country called The Weather of the Pacific Northwest. Been out at the University of Washington since the early 1980s. I asked Cliff Mass if he would join me because a big article in the Seattle Times about this idea. It's actually been kicking around for decades, called cloud brightening. It's a national story because scientists are basically blasting a plume of saline spray in order to shoot salty particles into the air and eventually make the clouds above better at reflecting sunlight towards space. What does this do? Theoretically, it helps cool the Earth. Is this really happening, and is it a good idea? And are there any downsides? Well, you need a scientific analysis of this, and of course, the best place to go for that is Cliff Mass. Good morning, Cliff Mass.
Good morning.
Okay. Were you aware that this experiment was underway and that it involved UW scientists?
Oh, I'm very aware. I mean, these are two members of my department who have been involved in this, and they've given a number of presentations on it, and I've read a lot of the literature on it. So, yeah, this is no secret that this kind of idea has been floating around for a while, and they're actually trying a relatively small scale experiment to see how it might work.
Is this? I remember, and I'm sure you do too. For a while back, maybe it was in the 80s, 90s, this idea called cloud seeding in order to encourage rainfall?
That's right. I mean, this has been going on for 50 years, this attempt to change the amount of rainfall, by seeding clouds. But this is a little different. And the idea from this came from looking at satellite pictures and where commercial ships, were putting out plumes of particles. There was combustion on the ships to drive them. We would see these white lines in the low clouds over the Pacific and other locations. So these are ship tracks. That's what we call them. So the idea came, well, if we could do it by accident, by pollution from ships, why not deliberately? Why not put large amounts of particles in the atmosphere? In this case, salt particles, and cause the clouds to become a little bit wider. What happens is you put these particles up, you get more cloud droplets. And more cloud droplets means more of the sun's rays are reflected to space. So the idea is, why don't we do this on a massive scale? Put out all this salt water, at least salt water droplets into the air, cause the stratocumulus and low clouds and the subtropics become wider, reflect more solar radiation to space, and therefore cool the planet. So that's the idea. And so what they have done on an extremely small scale is create these little salt water generators. That's what all the press has been about, and playing with them and see what that does to clouds.
And is it working so far?
Well, so far, they're just at the very initial stage trying to create these generators. So at this point, there's nothing been done to scale. But I think the real question is, if they could do it at scale, is it a good idea?
Right. That's Matt's question. Yeah.
That's the real question. And there actually has been a lot of research on this. There's been papers where people have used, global models and played with doing this by reducing the amount of solar radiation absorbed to the surface by making the subtropical clouds more reflective. So there's several papers on them, and I've read them. And the implications are that this is pretty dangerous, that we have to be awful careful about this, because this has the potential to change the hydrological cycle on the planet. And I'll tell you how it works.
Whoa, how? Yeah.
If you put a lot of particles into the atmosphere, you reflect more solar radiation to space. Mm-hmm. Well, the sun's pretty important because the whole hydrological cycle is based upon the sun hitting the surface and causing water to evaporate. That's where most of the water comes from. That's used for clouds and rain and snow. So if we reduce the solar radiation coming in, that means there's less getting to the surface, which means less evaporation, which means less water in the atmosphere. Well, that has pretty substantial hydrological impacts on the whole planet. There's the potential to cause droughts in some places, and strangely enough, floods in others. So we've done numerical model simulations. They've shown this is very dangerous, and there's also a lot of uncertainties in what will happen. So I am not sure this is a good thing to do.
So Professors Doherty and Professors Wood, Professor Wood from the UW, who are part of this project, what do they have to say about that?
Well, at this point, you know, they look at this as a scientific experiment.
Okay.
That's something that we're, you know, can we create the technology that'll do this with salt water particles? And what does it do to the clouds? We do measurements of radiation. So at this point, it's really science research. The real question is whether you apply this on a massive scale to do something about global warming. That's the big question.
I'm guessing you can probably think of other ideas that make a lot more sense and with a lot lower downside.
Well, I mean, there's some other people that are proposing doing this, the same thing a different way. Some people propose putting a lot of particles up in the stratosphere and reflect more solar radiation that way. That has the same kind of downsides, a little different, but quite similar. So, you know, I'm just imagining legal implications of this. I mean, when some people suffer, good point. Who is going to pay? You know, and this is like lawsuit mania on steroids. You know, the other approach, of course, is to reduce the amount of CO2 going into the atmosphere to try to solve the problem that way. Another way, which I think is more attractive, is to develop the technology to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere.
Right.
You know, that solves all the problems if you do that.
And that's going on, too.
That's going on, too. It's called sequestration. The big problem with that is it takes energy to do the sequestration, to pull the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So it doesn't make sense to burn fossil fuels to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere. So the only way that would work is if you use nuclear power as the power source to pull the CO2. I mean, that actually is maybe worth considering. But, you know, there's all kinds of technologies that are being experimented with at this point.
Sure. Before I let you go, real quickly, we had predicted when the show got underway that the eclipse was as momentous as it is above the clouds. It was going to be a bummer for most people, even in the field of totality, going to be a bummer because the clouds would get in the way and it would obscure most of the show. Well, the cloud cover began to lift in a lot of places, and they thought, aha, you know, the power of prayer, divine intervention. And you said, well, the clouds did thin, but prayers may have had an assist from science here.
Right. I did a blog about this morning. And in fact, it's kind of well known that this can happen. If you have a lot of low clouds that are driven by the heating of the sun, in large parts of the Midwest, what happens is during the morning, the sun comes up, it heats the surface, and the atmosphere starts convecting, like in your cereal pot. And when it's convecting, you get these clouds. So there's a lot of these low clouds, these cumulus clouds. Well, the interesting thing is, as the sun's radiation weakens because of the eclipse, the clouds collapse because you don't get the heating anymore that drives them. And that
there you go.
And that happened in large areas of northern Texas. So people who thought they were not going to see anything were startled and surprised that the cumulus clouds kind of evaporated just before the eclipse.
Yeah. No,
and many were able to see it.
Yes. No, friends of mine sent me a time-lapsed photography of the eclipse. Fascinating. It really was fascinating. and they didn't think they'd have a view at all, and they had clear skies ahead above.
So anyway, so many people were able to see it, and some places were open, and it was very exciting.
You want to check out Cliff Mass's blog because it is the most popular blog of any UW faculty member, one of the most popular blogs in the Pacific Northwest. It's Cliff Mass, one word, Cliff, two Fs, cliffmass.blogspot.com. That's cliffmass.blogspot.com. Check it out. Thanks so much. Again, appreciate it, as always, when you can join us for a few minutes and breathe life and evidence into these stories. I really appreciate it, Cliff.
Good to talk to you, John.